We're going to start out in Romans. Romans chapter 5. I'll get there in just a second. First of all, I'd like to say, for all, is it good? You know what? The light's not coming on. Is that good? I got it. There we go. Okay. So, first of all, I'd like to say to all the young men that opened up this morning, that was all really good, especially Ben. I really enjoyed that, including Sunday school. Y'all did a great job. Really challenged my heart. But in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, I just want to talk about, I'm going to be flipping around a little bit before we get settled in, but I just want to kind of go over God's love for us. Throughout everything. Before we get started, I'm going to pray really quick. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to just get something out of today, Lord. We come here, we want something out of the service, Lord. We want you to change us and use us, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that you just use me, purify me, Lord God. Help me to say what needs to be said, Lord God. Help me to do your will this morning, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, we all pretty much know this verse, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So I just want to, like I said, I'm going to be flipping around. I'm going to look at just God's love for us. So first off, we see that it's an undeserving love. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. He sent his son for us while we were sinners. We don't deserve his love. We were enemies of God. He still loved us. He still sent his son to die on that cross. And a lot of times I feel like, to an extent, we feel like we deserve it just because it's promised to us. But just because he promises his love does not mean we deserve it in any means. We really are so undeserving. All we deserve is to die and go to hell, but he sent his son so that way we could live. So it's an undeserving love. John 3:16, we know that one. I'm going to read Jeremiah 31 really quick, if I can get to it. Jeremiah 31:3. It says, The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. It's an unending love. His love for us reaches forever and ever. There's no end to his love. Romans 8, y'all can turn over there since you're right there. Romans 8, verse 35. This little section of scripture here has recently kind of become really dear to me, just because it does point out how strong God's love for us is. Verse 35, it says, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And it goes on naming all these things that nothing... verse 38, it says, For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's an undeserving love. We don't deserve it. It's an unending love. It's everlasting. It's gonna reach forever and ever. But it's also an inseparable love. There's nothing that can be done to end his love for us. He loves us. Nothing can separate us from his love. John 15, verse 13. I'm going to read that really quick. It says, Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man than this. It's a unique love from God. Only God can love like God can. You can't feel that love anywhere else. You can't feel that void anywhere else. Only God can have the love that he does. Only he can show us the love that he does. So just for a quick second here, just looking at how truly undeserving we are for his love, how great his love is. We really, like I said, we don't deserve it. It's unending, it's inseparable, and it's unique from God. I want to talk about in 2 Corinthians, this is where I'm kind of going to stay for a second, so we can turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse number 14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." The first part of that verse, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." Now, really quick, once again, we see God's love for us, Christ's love for us through creation. He created the whole world for us. He created us. We see his love for us even through the condemnation. Even though we were sinners, he still made a way. And that way was crucifixion. So we see his love through the crucifixion. And now we see his love through the communication he gives us, his word and prayer, through the comfort he gives us through the Holy Spirit. And we also see his love through the second coming that's going to happen one day. So looking at all those things, there's no question in my mind that God loves us. We see God's love. It's very apparent here. But this says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." So I just want to talk a quick second about what that word constraineth means. Let me find it here. I have it on my phone. It means to compel or force someone to follow a particular course of action. Compel means force or oblige someone to do something. The love of God should force us to change. It should force us to do something. And it's not like God's forcing us to do something we don't want to do, but we should not be able to stay the same after we see God's love for us. We should not be able to not do something. We shouldn't be able to just sit back and see God's love without getting up and doing something about it. After verse 14, it talks about, you know, how Christ laid down his life and all these things that he did for us, and talks more in depth about his love and how he died for us, how he reconciled us to him, not counting our sins to us, but charged them to himself. And he changed us unto him. We're made righteous in him. Paul says that his love constraineth us. We should be changed completely, unable to stay the same. And I'm just going to go over a few things that it should change. It should change, firstly, God's love, Christ's love for us should change how we live. It should change how we live our everyday life. It should change how we spend every moment. We should spend every moment giving every moment back to Christ for his glory. It's not our own lives to live. We need to live it for him. We need to really, I don't do it like I should, but we really need to live for Christ and honestly, truly being dead to yourself and fully surrendered to God. It's something that I think we almost miss the focus of and miss the importance of nowadays. How we really do need to live for him. A lot of times as Christians, we just go through our lives doing things and hoping that he accepts it. Doing things and hoping that, you know, it's okay to do. Doing things and saying, okay, well, I had really good intentions. You know, I want to do this and say it's for the Lord instead of following the Lord and doing what he wants you to do. It should change how we live our everyday life. Secondly, it should change how we love. It should change how we love others. It should change how we see others, how we see sinners and enemies. Matthew 5:44 tells us to love our enemies, those who despitefully use us. God's love for us should make it easier for us to love others. Any excuse that we could use to not love somebody, God could use that same excuse to not love us. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies of God, he loved us. A lot of times we struggle to love as Christians because We look at people, they're not living exactly right, and it's hard to love them. It really is. But we still need to love them. Christ came to the world. His ministry dealt with sinners. His ministry dealt with the people that no one else would go around. Dealt with the sick. And he associated himself. He stepped out of his way to go to these people that other people avoided. It really should change how we love everybody. It should also change how we love God. It should change. And that love for God should make us live for God, like I said. And so, thirdly, it should change how we look. It should change how we look at everything, every situation that comes into our life, every trial and tribulation. God's love for us should change our outlook, our point of view on everything that comes into our life. We know he loves us. Like we just talked about it for a quick second there. Everything, how we see God's love through us, for us throughout the beginning of time until forever and ever. We know he loves us. He wants us to succeed. He does all things well. He works all things for good to them that love him. He is for us. Everything he does is in our best favor. And here's another thing that's hard to get our minds around. Every no from God is always the best for us. And that's really hard for us to understand sometimes, is whenever we get a no from God, we think he's being mean. That's not what it is. Every single no from God is still in our best favor. It really is a challenge there. And another thing I want to say really quick is that word constraineth, it says for the love of Christ constraineth us. It didn't say it constrained us. It changed me. It forced me to be different. Then it's constantly changing. It's constantly changing you. It's a present tense. We should be constantly constrained. We shouldn't just, you know, okay, well, I got saved. You know, I changed. You know, now I'm living my life for God, and this is it. No, you get saved, you change, and it should constantly be changing you, constantly growing you into something more for Christ. Are we letting God's love change us, honestly, in our everyday life? Or are we just living our lives for us and hoping that God approves of us? The love of God should constrain, compel, and change us. It should change our everyday. It should make us want to live differently, not only before God, but also before others. Not just in the church, but also out in the world. If the love of God really has changed us, we need to live like it. We need to love like it. Let his love change you. Live his love out in your life every day. Love people and be changed. Something else, I really feel like I need to share it. Let me see here. In John chapter 1, this is just something that's really been on my heart, is really not just being changed on how we live, but being changed to want to tell. You know what I mean? Being changed to want to go out and tell people about it. We see Christ's love for us, and like I mentioned earlier, how we need to love differently should change how we love. I think a lot of times, like I said, we struggle with that factor of loving people just because they're not living right. And I've already said this, but I'm going to say it again. Christ's ministry was with the sinners. In John 1, I'm just going to read a couple of verses really quick. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." In verse 8 it says, "He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light, that was the true light, which liveth with which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world." And in Matthew 5, I'm going to read this really quick. Matthew 5, verse 14, it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Excuse me. We are the light of the world. We should let God's light shine through us. We see his love. We should let that change us. And like I said, that should change how we love people. We're the light of the world, not just the church. I feel like a lot of times we struggle with that. We're really good Christians inside the church. We're really good Christians Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Saturday night prayer. We're really good Christians when we have, you know, our youth meetings. But what are we to the world? Does the world see our light shining? When we step out into Walmart, do they know that we're Christians? And I'm not just saying by our appearance, but we should be shining a light. The light of the gospel. We should be telling everyone, honestly. Like that Friday night that I was here, those preachers were preaching. And there were some good sermons talking about how we need to go and tell. And it's something that's really been on my heart for a while now. We need to do more for him. We really do. We know he's coming again. We know it's true. Why aren't we telling people? We need to be living right outside of the churches as well. We need to be a good Christian when we go to Walmart. We need to go and tell. We need to be a light to the world. You may be the only Bible people have to read. I just spent a week at a camp with little kids that don't get love. They don't get Jesus. And for that short week that I was there, there was a ton of kids that came up to me and basically said that I've helped them. And that's honestly amazing to me because I've never really had that. I've never had someone that could look up to me. You know what I mean? I've always been the youngest sibling. I've always been little Matthew. But knowing that I could just go to this little camp and just love these kids and show them that Jesus loves them and that they could be changed through that. Just the quick little bit of loving people can show Christ's love and it can change their whole entire lives. Like I said, you may be the only Bible people read. When you go through the register and you tell that lady, hey, you know, Jesus loves you. Here's a tract. Read this. It takes, like you said, just 10 quick seconds to just stand up and say, hey, you know, this is Jesus. And just share Jesus with them and love them. 10 quick seconds is all it could take to change their eternal life. And a lot of times we just back down because we're too scared to stand up and say, hey, I am a Christian. You know what I mean? A lot of times we're too scared to do anything for Christ. And I don't know why that is. But like I said, it's something I even struggle with. A lot of times I'll go into the store and I'll take some tracts with me. I'll be like, okay, I'm going to give this to somebody in here. And I'll go in, I'll grab whatever I want, I'll walk out the store. I pay for it, of course, but walk out the store. I get in my truck and I basically just, I'm so disappointed with myself instantly. Honestly, we need to be shining our light for God in our everyday life. Every single moment of our life should be his. It shouldn't be just living an okay life. It's not just not sinning. It's not just trying to live right. The Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know to go and tell. Are you doing it? That's all I have, Pastor.